There are so many different ways to win an MMA fight, and everyone has their own preferences. It might be knockout punches, takedowns, submissions, all sorts. The key is knowing when to use the right move at the right time. Otherwise, chances are it's not going to work, or even worse, it might end up costing you the fight. You'd be surprised, though. We've definitely seen fighters use the same move over and over again, even though it doesn't seem to be working, and for whatever reason, they just couldn't or didn't want to shake the habit.
I watch all his fights. I know he's all the time going to guillotine.
I'm Bailey, and from MMA On Point, as always, we're going to give a shout out to our channel Hall of Famers, and these are 10 fighters that refuse to stop bad habits. Number 10, Michael Chandler. After Iron Mike popped up out of nowhere and beat Eddie Alvarez, one of the most credentialed MMA champions you can get, he stayed at the top of the sport from there because, well, he was winning, but he was also guaranteed entertainment. Bellator loved him. He would crack people with huge power punches, but you could also tell he absolutely loved picking people up and slamming them on the canvas. The only problem with that is, though, on a few occasions, the high-octane, high-energy slams have kind of backfired on him. In the Eddie Alvarez rematch, he was walking him down non-stop, and every chance he had, he tried to pick him up and slam him. The thing was, though, Eddie just kept getting right back up, and there's no doubt all that energy use kind of cost him late in the fight. And who remembers against Charles Oliveira when he just jumped on Mike's back? A super dangerous place to be, and Iron Mike just power dropped him right into a body triangle. Like, I don't think anyone would advise that, but Mike just doesn't give a shit. And most of you will probably remember when he fought Gaethje.
Oh man, I never will forget it.
He went for a really big slam right at the end, and he totally looks out of energy after it, and the highlight finished him. I mean, Mike's hit some lovely takedowns in his career, even suplexes against Benson Henderson, but it's clear how much energy it uses, and at least to us fans, it doesn't always seem like the smartest thing to do, but what do I know? And good luck telling Iron Mike that.
Are you not entertained?
Number 9, Michelle Waterson. After an impressive run and a world atomweight title in Invicta, the karate hottie Michelle Waterson was looked at as a potential champion when she arrived in the UFC. And at first, she managed to take out a lot of the strawweight division. You know, she was a badass. Her wrestling was always a great asset, but obviously with a nickname like the karate hottie, it was her striking that was supposed to be getting the job done. However, upper weight class and against a lot of girls, she just couldn't always seem to get it working. Now, Michelle had this very unique habit of throwing lots of strikes from way outside of range, kind of like feints to set up the rest of her offense. But once people had the read on that, she kind of became, well, pretty predictable with it. They called her bluff, and as well as that, she kind of just was wasting energy and girls were just running through her. Once she then went up another weight class to flyweight, and at the tail end of her career, it became super apparent that that strategy wasn't working at all anymore. And unfortunately, she ended up on a bit of a losing streak.
She's in a lot of trouble.
I mean, I've seen the memes fans have made about it, but it's understandable some are also frustrated as the same game plan just being used over and over. Some fans have said the same thing about Macy Barber, but it never seemed to work out as well for Waterson. Number 8, Robbie Lawler. If you've ever wanted to take a new fan one step further into the world of mixed martial arts, then you can always bang on a Robbie Lawler fight. Guaranteed gunslinging violence, even the more calculated version of himself that won a UFC world title, was one of the most aggressive fighters of all time. Fifth round war Lawler was a real thing.
Because if I hurt him, I wasn't taking his neck.
What were you gonna take?
His soul.
After he eventually lost his UFC title, though, he still, in some ways, looked every much the part of the monster he had been. But something in his style just seemed to change. Rather than walk forward and hunt his opponent, we saw Lawler in multiple fights start to back up to the cage and shell, just trying to slip punches. I mean, it happened in the RDA fight, and then the Covington fight, and then against Neil Magny. Lawler was still looking to knock you out. It just seemed like he wanted to fight like that now, and nothing was going to change his mind. I mean, it was definitely frustrating for a lot of people, and then the media started labeling him gun shy. And that kind of carried on until he got to avenge that loss to Nick Diaz 20 years later, and he came out like an absolute savage in that one. And after that, he didn't really seem to rely on that strategy so much anymore. Number 7, Cody Garbrandt. Garbrandt seemed to be exactly what the UFC bantamweight division needed at exactly the right time. The belt had been fought over by longtime legends and only one new star, really, in TJ Dillashaw. And then Cody came onto the scene as a young kid, covered in tattoos with Chris Boxing, who was executing people. The fan base absolutely drank it up. And then it culminated in an ascendancy to the UFC title, outmaneuvering the best bantamweight ever in Dominick Cruz. But then, unfortunately, as they do sometimes, things went a bit downhill for Cody. And what made things that bit more frustrating for fans after that is because it felt like he kept losing in exactly the same way. It started in his first title defense against his former teammate TJ Dillashaw. When things got chaotic, Cody just started throwing his right hand over and over again. Now TJ read it and he finished him. And then pretty much exactly the same thing happened in the rematch. And then the same thing happened against Pedro Munhoz. It's not like any of us could actually give Cody Garbrandt boxing advice, but we just kept seeing him get countered in the same way over and over again. And then you had the Dominic Cruz performance to compare it to. You knew what he was capable of, and it was only more frustrating. Number 6, Justin Gaethje. I, like most MMA fans, love me some Justin Gaethje. And if you want a treat, go look up his World Series of Fighting fights. They are all just wars, every single one of them a slugfest. Justin was doing his whole I can break anyone era, and a big part of that game plan was his leg kicks. Now that continued early into his UFC career, and Justin is one of the few guys who can just throw leg kicks from weird positions like the clinch. He's super explosive, and he just chucked them at people. Now, even as effective as they were, they are what you would call a naked leg kick. It means he wasn't really setting them up, he was just throwing them, and why the fuck not? He was smashing people apart with them and finishing guys with them, even in the World Series of Fighting, though. We did see he was getting countered while throwing them. Now, he didn't seem to mind getting punched in the face that much, and he was still grinding his opponents into pulp, but he was eating some really big shots. When he fought Michael Johnson in the UFC, he rocked him bad after countering one of those naked leg kicks. He still got the win, but you know, he took a lot of damage once again. And then against Eddie Alvarez, countering those leg kicks was also part of the game plan, along with everything else. That wasn't the only reason he lost that fight, obviously, but against Dustin Poirier, the kicks worked early, but ultimately, again, Poirier knocked him out whilst countering one of those same kind of leg kicks. Try to tell Justin Gaethje how to fight, though. I mean, he knows what he's doing. It definitely does seem, though, he's moved away from such a balls-to-the-wall, chop-your-legs-down style, and he's definitely taken way less damage because of it. I feel like he doesn't just throw them for the sake of it anymore. Number 5, Tyron Woodley. Tyron's UFC welterweight run before he won the title went super well. He knocked out almost everybody, and it was in pretty much the same way, drawing them onto his big right hand, which in most cases was just enough to KO people. And it was definitely surprising at first. I mean, this guy we always thought was a wrestler. After he won the belt, he faced a lot of different challenges, but the same tactic was in some cases still working. I mean, he landed the same right hand on Wonderboy and on Darren Till. But once he went up against the new challengers in the division, we saw for the first time that that tactic was not only countered, but it started to completely work against him. Against Kamaru Usman, Tyron kept backing up and backing up to throw his nuclear bomb of a right hand, and Kamaru would just run him into the fence and start wrestling him. Woodley lost his title, but then couldn't or didn't want to shake that same tactic. I mean, the same thing then happened in pretty much every UFC fight after that. Sure, T-Wood was getting a little bit older, but he still kept wanting to back up and land that right hand, and every one of his opponents completely took advantage of it, as Tyron just never seemed to change the game plan. Number 4, Carlos Condit. One of the most consistent finishers to compete in the welterweight division in the WEC was Carlos Condit. Now, this is before he became a UFC legend. And on his third WEC title defense, he had 23 wins on his record, and 22 of them were finishers. Only Jake Shields went the distance, probably because he was one of the only guys with good enough submission defense, because not only was Condit KOing people, he was submitting them left, right, and center. And a lot of those submissions came from his back and inside full guard. In the UFC, Condit was an incredible striker on the feet, but we saw right away when he was taken down, he had a very dangerous and very active guard, and he was constantly throwing up submissions. But despite having 13 submissions before he got to the UFC, he went the next 12 years of his UFC career without landing a single one. Which is a massive shame, really, because clearly he was great off his back, but in almost all his losses during his prime, it was in fights where he was taken down and controlled by wrestlers, while he worked for submissions off his back, and in some cases, they used that against him to inflict even more damage. I mean, never was that more clear than in the Johnny Hendricks fight. I know commentators like Bisping are always going on about trying a few subs and then getting back to your feet, but I think the natural born killer had every bit of belief in his Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, but unfortunately never paid off in the UFC, and he never changed the game plan. Number 3, Roy Nelson. Nobody loves a big country knockout more than me, okay? Roy Nelson went on a streak of KO wins early in his UFC career, and I loved every single one of them. Despite being a gold medal winner at the Pan American BJJ Championships, Big Country loved a big knockout. And once he got to the UFC, he essentially just said, fuck it, because basically, I'm going to try and one-shot everyone. He had one big ducking overhand, and that was his bread and butter. And he was going to throw it at your face until he went unconscious, basically. When that thing landed, it was a showstopper. But against a lot of high-level competition, well, basically, the majority of competition, They could see it coming from a mile away. Not only was Roy trying to throw that overhand, but he was always ducking his head straight down while doing it, and he ate a lot of big knees and uppercuts as well. I mean, it's exactly how Mark Hunt KO'd him, and Verdum nearly sent his head into orbit.
This is nasty. Oh, man.
And when Big Country started losing and that right hand wasn't working anymore, do you think he changed the game plan? You bet he didn't. He's probably still walking around his house right now throwing that overhand right. He only won two of his last seven UFC fights, but I guess the sight of an off-season Father Christmas rubbing his belly after KOing a human giant stiff was worth all the punishment he took in the process. Number 2, Valentina Shevchenko. Once the UFC opened up the 125-pound women's division, pretty much everyone thought Valentina Shevchenko would be the champion. She was the only person who was giving Amanda Nunes a run for her money, but she just couldn't seem to beat her on the scorecards. And for all of the amazing skill sets that the Bullet possessed, I mean, she had a lot of them, fans couldn't help but notice just one thing, though. There was one move she kept using that always seemed to get her in trouble. Yes, the very fabled head and arm throw, a technique you don't often see in men's MMA, to be honest, but for some reason it's super common in women's fights. I don't know why, there's a bunch of reasons probably. But the point is, Val has gone to this move several times, and sometimes you could argue it's even lost her fights, very important ones. She tried to hit it in the super close second Amanda Nunes fight. Yeah, she went for it in the fifth round and it totally backfired. She also used it against Talia Santos and it didn't work out and could have cost her that fight as well. Some people argued it kind of did. And then it pretty much did cost her in the fifth round of the Grasso rematch as well. It's just a technique that we've seen not work a lot, like when Paige VanZant just kept spamming it over and over. Valentina, though, doesn't seem like she's going to take it out of her arsenal anytime soon. Number 1, Dustin Poirier. Well, yeah, fuck it. The guy who inspired this list is going in at number 1. Not just because fans of Dustin Poirier, who have grown to love his striking, all shout at the TV at the same time every time he jumps for a guillotine, but because in his last fight, his teammates and his coach were all shouting at him as well.
Remember, champ, don't jump guillotine. Don't do it. Circle off the fence. Don't jump guillotine.
And if that hasn't stopped Poirier in 30 UFC fights from jumping and pulling guard for guillotines, I don't think anything will. He did it multiple times against Dan Hooker. You know, he tried to catch Eddie Alvarez in one. To be fair, apparently almost had Khabib, even if deciding to go to the ground with that monster did end up costing him the fight. And yes, most recently against Benoit Saint Denis, he's done it in other fights as well and has never once in his career won by that submission, okay? He's like Ahab chasing Moby Dick. And who knows why? Maybe he literally, for some reason, can't sprawl against the cage. You know, he has bad hips. Maybe he hits it all the time in training. Ultimately, going for pretty much any submission is going to cost you position, and it's not like he's lost every fight he's gone for it in.
And you miss all the ones you don't jump, first of all, but...
I don't think anyone needs to tell Dustin that it's clearly not working. He's the one in there fighting, but even most of the time, he ends up on the bottom in potential danger. But at this point, it feels like he's almost doing it for the memes.
All right, guys, bit of an interesting video today, I'll admit it. These are things that I think we as a fan base, we've noticed, and they frustrate us, and we don't like it, and that's why we put them in the video for you today. Thank you, as always, to our Hall of Famers as well. Those guys go the extra mile. They have joined us here as a member. A bunch of cool stuff that comes with membership, access to extended podcasts, writers meeting, a bunch of fun stuff for being a member here, so go ahead. If you want to join them, click the link down below. Give us a like if you enjoyed the video. I'm not going to lie, you know, you guys probably know some other stuff that wasn't in the video, some other bad habits. Put them in the comments down below. Let's hear and give us a subscribe if you want to see more from us as well. Until then, I'll see you in the next one, guys. Thank you for watching.